Rubbernecking the Banks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The latest bank profit reports started rolling in this morning. I don't really want to look at them, but I have to. J.P. Morgan Chase said profits fell 84% last quarter. It's the same old story, bad mortgage investments and home loans. But J.P. was expected to do worse, so perhaps Wall Street will get a little bounce out of that. In Asia today, stocks closed mostly lower. In Europe, the markets are down 2-3% so far. The Dow is at 9,310 after losing 77 points yesterday, just a fraction. One thing that seems to be adding to the angst in the stock markets is the presidential election. More on that from Nancy Marshall Genzer.
Jeff Bourne is a finance professor at Northeastern University. He's never seen an election year like this one. He's researched all daily stock returns from 1962 to mid-2001. He built a model on normal investor behavior. He says investors usually like a close presidential race. They pile money into the market. Average returns actually go up.
There's risk. There's a chance for, if you're right, if you should probably experience even better returns after the elections.
Bourne says his model isn't working this year. Doug Roberts of ChannelCapitalResearch.com isn't surprised. He says the close election is helping to upset an already unsettled market.
A good portion of this market problem has to do with fear and uncertainty. And right now, when you have something so close, just add to that.
Roberts thinks the market will improve after the election. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
I'm sure you've heard the argument Americans have been living beyond their means, and now we're going to pay for it. Commentator Robert Reich doesn't exactly buy that.
The argument we've been living beyond our means, with its thinly veiled suggestion of moral turpitude, is technically correct. Over the last 15 years, average household debt has soared to record levels, and the typical American family has taken on more debt than it can safely manage. That became crystal clear when the housing bubble burst and home prices fell, eliminating easy home equity loans and refinancings. But this story leaves out one very important fact. Since the year 2000, median family income, adjusted for inflation, has been dropping. One of the main reasons the typical family has taken on more debt has been to maintain its living standards in the face of these declining real incomes. I mean, it's not as if the typical family suddenly went on a spending binge, buying yachts and fancy cars and taking ocean cruises. No, the typical family just tried to keep going, as it had before. But with real incomes dropping, and the costs of necessities like gas, heating oil, food, health insurance, and even college tuitions all soaring, the only way to keep going as before was to borrow more. You might see this as a moral failure, but I think it's more accurate to view it as an ongoing struggle to stay afloat when the boat's sinking. The living beyond our means argument suggests that the answer over the long term is for American families to become more responsible and not spend more than they earn. Well, that may be necessary, but it's hardly sufficient. The real answer over the long term is to restore middle-class earnings so families don't have to go deep into debt to maintain what was a middle-class standard of living. And that requires, among other things, affordable health insurance, tax credits for college tuition, good schools, and an energy policy that's less dependent on oil, the price of which is going to continue to rise as demand soars in China, India, and elsewhere. In other words, the way to make sure Americans don't live beyond their means is to give them back their means.
Robert Reich's book, Super Capitalism, is now in paperback.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, letting listeners know that October is Sudden Cardiac Arrest Awareness Month. More about SCA risks and treatment at hearthelp.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org.
I've been tooling around L.A. a bit, talking to people about their economic situation. I met a woman named Arlene Badashill. She works for a home builder, and she's worried about losing her job. So this summer, she came up with a backup plan. Her own business. It began when her niece graduated from college and bought a scooter.
And the next thing we knew, we're like, well, she has a sister. She should get a scooter, too. And that makes them the scooter girls. And I'm like, wait a minute, scooters, Hooters on scooters. And I'm like, yeah, that's the hook, Hooters on scooters.
Now, before you jump to conclusions, Arlene might be onto something. Her new company, Scooter Girls, does mobile advertising. A bunch of women drive around in scooter formation wearing company logos.
Who isn't going to notice all these great-looking girls traveling in a pack of 20 or 30 of them driving down La Brea or Santa Monica? And yes, sex sells. We get it. We understand it. And we're all strong women, and we're going to use it to our advantage. But we're not going to exploit anyone. That is not what this company is about.
Okay, so there's the concept. But isn't it a terrible time to start a business?
You know what? I have to expect I'm going to lose my job. So what am I going to do about that? You either let it happen to you and be the victim in this economy, or you say, I'm not going to be a victim.
But the money's a bit of a problem. Arlene couldn't get any credit at her bank, not even a company credit card. So she cashed out half her 401k to buy 30 scooters and hire more women. The money's so tight, she's basically running her company on the barter system.
For example, we have some scooter mechanics that their car broke down. They can't get to all the other jobs they're doing. So I've lent them scooters so that they can get around, and they're doing work on our scooters in exchange. We have a printing company who he wanted a scooter, so we gave him a scooter, and he's doing all of our printing for us exclusively.
Arlene's being pretty creative, and she's certainly determined. But there's no guarantee her business is going to make it, and Arlene could lose a lot. For her young niece, Sherry, the original scooter girl, this is quite a leap into the real world.
I think, yeah, the economy's bad, but everyone has something else to offer. And, you know, I'm like my aunt, I'm not going to take no for an answer. And sometimes that's all you can do is do it by yourself.
Share your stories with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.